Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Kalen Carr, Matt Doyle, and about 60% of David Goss.
Where's that?
I see the stream on your computer.
Nice.
I see what you're watching right now.
Wow.
You are cheating.
Yeah.
This is an affair.
I'm actually catching up on a GA Cup?
This is
I'm catching up on old MLS Next Pro games that I haven't watched. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just checking out North Texas
watching
SC.
Tape. Yeah, huh?
You never know.
A guy named, what, Irving Holland on that team?
Irving?
Yeah, it's from Texas.
Blaine Ferry? That's a,
that's a Texas name.
Yeah. Well, Irving Holland's the Blaine Ferry.
I mean, isn't there an Irving, Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. There you go.
I think in the history of Andrew Wiebe, the possibility that he literally just said the name wrong was out there. So that's why I was double checking.
I was giving him the benefit of the doubt.
You're trying to take all the heat off yourself. You're like, oh, in the history, mispronouncer in chief over here.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys, I'm comfortable with my pronunciations.
It's a way of putting it.
You know, Ben Bear always smokes every pronunciation. That's all he texts me about the show.
Nice.
He hosted trivia last week at the bar I go to. He couldn't say the word compilation. And I'm sitting in the bar going, really, man? I get a text about every South Korean, South African, and 18 different Arahos in the league.
How was he? Well, give me a
he just literally
interpretation.
He was like,
it's a
tough word.
It's a bad look for the University of Wisconsin.
It is.
It is a bad look. As bad as losing in the NIT quarterfinals.
You just had that. You had that just off the top. You were ready with that one. Yeah. Had no idea what happened to the Badgies.
I track it.
Badge
Nation. Just in case.
I don't talk trash about the Badgers to Ben, because one time I did it, the football team lost in like week two. And I said, hey, congratulations on another national title push. It was really good. He got so mad. I do think he might have been, I'm not going to say he was on the verge of tears, but he was like, why do you do that? It's like Ben talks smack about everybody's team. And then the one time I did it about Wisconsin, he lost his mind.
Is this the, how many Ben Bear references have we had on this? Well,
I have a Ben Bear story. Wow, I just messed it up. I just butchered
it. Ben Bear'd
that.
Yeah.
We made it.
Out of respect to the legend. When I first moved to New York, we did a happy hour and this waiter came by and absolutely pushed me into the wall while I was waiting for the bathroom. And I came back up and I was like, what's the deal with that? Like, this guy just completely shoved me. And he's like, oh, that's your fault. And I was like, oh, man, New York is going
to
be tough.
I thought he was going to come to you.
No, he's like, that's your fault.
Knight in shining armor.
Let's go, Ben. Mean streets of York.
That is a very good Ben Bear story.
That's a great one. How many people, because we've had some people start listening to this show, and we will get to the soccer, and I see them tweeting at us. They're like, oh, I just got season pass on Apple TV. I didn't know you guys existed. How many people
love that even more?
How many people are like, who is Ben Bear? We haven't even said the word Barrentee.
I feel like we've said Barrentee, have we not?
We have, but that may have been completely...
Ben used to be one of the editors at Major League Soccer and was a contributor on this show called Extra Time. So if you're listening, that's the name of the show you're listening. Or if you're watching...
When he was on, it was lit.
Yeah, and it was we had a little radio involved as well with that. And he created something called the Barrentee, because his last name is Bear, where you can guarantee that something happens. I think the genesis was
2016.
The Sounders.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sounders were
I still have the tweet saved. I retweet it every year.
Well, here's the thing. You said the Sounders
like
were not going to make the playoffs.
1972 Dolphins drinking champagne. Yeah.
It was supposed to be like, hey, you're going to go out on a limb here. That's why it's the Barrentee. It's like this. It's a take.
Because I believe the case was the Sounders were not in a playoff spot.
The Sounders were dead and buried. To be fair, the Sounders.
So it wasn't even a good Barrentee at that.
No, it was like he was not out on a limb. And then they signed Nico Ladero. And he Ladero walked into the 2016 season, completely changed everything about the Sounders season and about Sounders history from then on out. And, is Nico Ladero.
And then this had a good branding on Ben's part, honestly.
And we had a great fan who put together, I think, that what Baron the certificate
Crest,
is.
Yeah, certificate of so Baron
T. It's a bear which, wearing glasses.
Yeah, which we used to have hanging up around the office. Anyway, if you like us talking about soccer, I'm sorry, we tend to go off on tangents.
You can go follow Ben on Twitter. He tends to dabble in a little MLS.
He's got a podcast.
Yeah. With Dano Robertson.
Yeah, very good podcast.
Do you think that podcast is...
didn't you have the short... Didn't you have the one with Mark?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, bring back Spit and Fire.
Spit and Fire.
It's too hot. You gotta find that on your own.
We're 5 minutes in right now, which is one more minute than goals that Tati Castellanos scored against Real Madrid.
Let's go.
That's an incredible way to start this show after 5 minutes
of
inane banter.
Ready? MLS.
MLS. Where's my hat when I need it? My Rob Lowe hat. This is incredible. According to reports, and I don't know whether to believe them or not, but it seems true. Tati Castellanos, NYCFC striker on loan to Girona.
Oh, wow. I forgot that was
loan,
a part of it. Yeah.
Yesterday's price is not today's price. I'll just put it that way. Is the first player since 1947 to score four goals on Real Madrid in La Liga.
Mm. Ernest Hemingway was the last one.
I also saw one. What? I also saw one that said he's the first foreigner, the first non-Spaniard to score four goals in a game.
So it probably wasn't Ernest Hemingway.
In La Liga. Well, I mean, he did get Spanish citizenship.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So, he had himself a... I went back and I watched those goals, though. I didn't watch the whole game. I watched the goals. It's like, they weren't... I want to say, like, he was obviously in the right place at the right time on all four of those, but it wasn't like Tati Castellanos can make absolutely devastating off-ball runs, and like there's a reason he won the Golden Boot. There's a reason he's got, I think, 11 or 12 goals now in La Liga. He will be sold for $15 to $20 million this summer. I don't doubt it now. They couldn't get that number last year, but they will certainly after this season. But it wasn't like a quintessential Tati Castellanos thing. Is like the first one, he was just like standing there at the penalty marker, and like three Madrid defenders just like could not deal with a cutback, and he one timed. The second one is a ball over the top, and it was like really good strike.
That was nice, though.
It
he
was
muscled off Militao. Yeah.
No, yeah, it was really nice, but that's like not what you think about when you think. But with Tati Castellanos, I think about like the triple move that throws off the defender as you're getting, like, there was no triple move on any of these. Like, this was just like him being, and like he got loose on a set piece to, you know, head home, I think, the third one.
I think the ball just fell to his feet.
Yeah.
On the fourth.
Yeah. So, no, it, I'm not denigrating the performance. It was like Real Madrid were not having a good day, and he was on hand to take advantage of that. And four goals, man.
How do you think he's going to remember that day? Kalen, it was a wonderful experience. I did watch the whole game from the very start. I just like happened to see that Girona was playing Madrid, and I was like, oh, is Tati starting? He is. I'll watch this. I have nothing better to do. Tati entered the game with seven goals on the season in La Liga, has started a ton of matches for Girona, nearly hits, goes past the 50% mark against Real Madrid. He will never forget that, and I will never forget the bicycle feature of Tati riding through Girona at halftime.
It was pretty awesome. I also saw NYCFC was watching the game, and that's pretty cool to see your former teammate going over and blowing up like that. I also saw everything going crazy on Twitter. Aleko tweeted, I heard an MLS player scored against Real Madrid today. Has that ever happened before?
Oh,
pretty
God.
Amazing. I was like,
all the guys that scored in friendlies.
Yeah.
Just coming out the
I was like, I don't know.
Oh, did you guys know that I have also done this?
Aleko. Men's League legend, by the way, still putting them in, still putting in goals in. And then it made me think back also to other random MLS against Real Madrid games. Not the first time we've gone up against them.
No.
The MLS Select 11.
That's what I was going to say. That? Wasn't there like a generation Adidas 11 that would go over?
I was just looking
at the Bernabeu.
It was at the Bernabeu. And
Breck Shea started at center back.
I think it looks like it has Yuri Djorkaeff.
I just got chills when you said that.
Breck no, Shea Yuri Djorkaeff's not part of it. I thought it was like a young player.
I think Justin Mapp, I think, was over there.
A young Eddie Gavin performance.
This is a quote from Jimmy Conrad. Says, I'm a little bitter because we gave up five.
Oh, they got tatied.
Were the kids in GA Cup last month?
Real Madrid?
Yeah.
Yeah, they brought a 15th.
How'd they do?
They lost to Philadelphia. Kevin Sullivan, obviously.
Okay.
Penalty kicks, but they were good. They were solid. Real Madrid got tired of getting beat, so they brought their good team, I think.
But then they got beat.
Yeah, but not as bad as they used to. Yeah. They gave a presentation one time about their youth development, their mm-hmm. academy, and the history. They put together a list of players who have come through Real Madrid's academy. There were some, how do I word it? There were some like Josie Altidore versions of like, yeah, we developed this player.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
Like Casemiro. And then, yeah. Casemiro, then they Jr. developed because he played for Real B for like a year when he first came over at like 23.
They just list all the Brazilian academies. Like, yeah, that's our academy. Right. Yeah,
every Flamengo, Palmeiras, uh-huh. Yeah, and Mineiro players. No worries. Yeah.
We are going to talk about MLS Match Day 10, give you the matches to watch. Where in the world is Kalen Carr? It's Gillette. You know it's Gillette. But there's a great game there. Revs in Cincinnati.
Is it
weekend,
just that you love the Bass Pro MLS Shops there?
it's the culture.
They're really committed to the arts.
Yeah.
His favorite
yeah.
part is when he orders the chicken parm and he watches them take it out of the freezer hole and put it all into the fryer. That's Kalen's favorite food.
Honestly, it's still a come up because I've been in Braintree for the longest. Our loyal listeners always be like, have you given Braintree another chance? I have not.
Home of Jim Calhoun.
I would like to go back.
They flag you down?
Go Huskies.
No, not at the stadium yet. Yeah.
But at the hotel. It's like, you know, it's like when Real Madrid comes for a friendly here and you've got the crowd outside the hotel.
You know where to find me.
Kalen!
Yeah. You know where to find me. There's like four places there. You know where to find me.
He's at one of them. Yeah. Just, take your shot. 25% chance on that one. Okay. Open Cup Tuesday. A little bit of a, you know, truncated night. The big action is on Wednesday in addition to the CONCACAF Champions League semifinal between the Union and LAFC. Unfortunately, we are taping on Wednesday. It is truly a sad day. I know a lot of people hit us up and said, hey, tape on Thursday. You should do that. And I appreciate you for being so locked into our taping capabilities and telling us what we can and cannot do. But we will, of course, have a Twitter commentary on that as well and talk about it when it is time. But someone called the cup set of Monterey Bay against the Quakes. If you'd like to remind the people, Dave.
I'm not hosting, so I don't have a rundown, so I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
Anyone?
You don't remember.
Kalen, do you remember who
You
called?
Remember the select 11 that played Real Madrid? You can't remember. I sat in the seat and said Monterey Bay was...
That was a life experience for me. This one wasn't really part of my involvement. Yeah, you had Christian Valeski, too, up on your screen.
Yeah, I did.
And he scored the goal.
Yeah, single goal. Frank Yallop.
And it was at Buck Shaw, right?
No, I don't think so.
It's in Monterey.
Yeah, it's in Monterey. I think they redid the stadium.
Kalen, why don't you explain to us where it was?
Shaw vibes.
Cardinale Stadium? Cardinale?
Ever played there?
So Cardinale is a Negroni, except you use dry vermouth instead of sweet vermouth. It's a better drink. Honestly, I think it's a better drink.
I think Joe Cannon was on the bench on
this
Monterey
is Cal Bay. State University.
Joe Cannon, I think, was on the bench for Monterey Bay. I swear I saw him.
He coaches.
I know. I think he was coaching maybe with Yallop. It would make sense.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant on the bench.
Like no, not playing. Oh, okay.
You talked about Simon Dawkins. I mean, being on the team as well.
That'd be a ringer.
Who else are they pulling? Marvin Chavez just like comes off and like in the
Hugh Roberts on this team. That's a legend.
It is
Jason
incredible
Johnson
to see
is on this team. Yep. Former Houston Dynamo.
JJ.
Yeah.
Respect.
Simon Dawkins as well. This is a squad.
Alex Dixon, is he out there?
Yeah.
He is.
Another Houston guy?
My guy, Walmer Martinez, Hartford Athletic walk-on, dreams.
So we have some bad news, and obviously we've just really like got you in the position to take this well. Matt Crocker, the new sporting director of U.S. Soccer, was scheduled to be on this very show on this very day, and through a comedy of errors on my part, and I'll just take the blame on this. So, you know, a good leader falls on their sword. It's going to have to wait a week, folks. It's going to wait a week, so we will have Matt Crocker on this show next Wednesday, and I actually take it back. It's Anders' fault.
Wow, that was quick.
Upon, you know, reconsidering.
So,
remove the sword.
So the way it was explained to me was like, we were going to bring Matt Crocker on, and he was going to explain to us how the U.S. was going to win the 2026 World Cup on the men's side.
Need a little more time.
And Anders threw in to the chat, oh, what about Norway? And they canceled the interview.
Yeah.
So that's the way it was explained to me.
Saunders' fault.
Yeah. So I don't know where to go from there.
Some good questions. Next week, we got questions. Some great questions. They look good.
Do you want us to ask you the questions?
we can grill you.
No, definitely not.
Can I ask you this before we get into deadline day, which Tom Bogert of The Athletic was all over. It was the most extra time deadline day ever. We'll go into that in detail. There were no blockbuster moves, but a lot of moves that really plucked our heartstrings. Sorry, my bad. They're all blockbusters in our heart. Tata Martino told Felipe Cardenas that his, quote, biggest weakness is Major League Soccer.
We're under the skin.
What do you?
We have infected Domino.
Wow. What does that even mean?
The cordyceps is in his brain.
The domino thing?
No. I mean, I have no idea what that means. I don't really care. But I was more curious about the biggest weakness being MLS.
Like, I don't know.
Come on, you know what it means. You know exactly what it means, which is if we sent you to Manchester for an Arsenal-Manchester City game and you were in the crowd and you're hanging out.
What's the score of that, by the way?
1-0 Man City about to go into halftime. Okay. And and one of us texted you and was like, yo, dude, you got to see this goal that Andrew Brody just scored. You know, you bring it up on your phone and watch it because you have that MLS.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
It's
It's your biggest weakness.
It's that itch.
Yeah. No,
if it's a Tuesday night and your wife's like, I'd really like to watch a show tonight. And you say, we can't because I'm live streaming US Open Cup on the TV.
Right.
SKC's Monterey going for Bay their first win of the year.
Have you seen Tulsa Athletic's jersey sponsor?
Right.
Not Athletic.
It's not?
Oh, maybe it is.
No, it is. It's Tulsa Athletic.
Yeah. This is not the USL Tulsa.
Yeah.
It's a semi-pro Tulsa.
Yeah. That's FC. Come on, dude.
So
if you don't know the pyramid, do you really care?
Yeah. Fair.
So you think Tata's just like this weekend just mainlining KC versus Montreal?
100%.
Okay.
100%.
And he has ideas.
I think Tata goes into a meeting with Messi, and when Messi brings up MLS, he goes, I cannot believe Montreal loaned out Ritazu here.
Yeah.
Shocking. What a big window for San Antonio.
Big window for San Antonio.
What's your biggest weakness as a person?
Whoa.
Wow.
I'm coming to you guys next. Don't worry.
Jeez.
It doesn't have to be serious. It could just be, you know, something that you know, irrationally or.
Thank you, Weeby, for giving us permission to say whatever we want.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, this year has.
2-0.
Maybe illuminated a few things for me.
Okay.
Traveling to Foxborough, especially.
Big weakness.
I paid a cover. I just like to come clean here. I paid a cover to go to Bar Louie.
Oh, thank you. I mean, Bar Louie is the hot spot.
It is, but a cover.
There's a cover.
Is it just for you? Were you the only one who got charged?
No, I wasn't alone. That would be another level. If that was, there's levels to this. If I was alone, that would be tough. I don't want to incriminate anybody I was with.
Yeah.
Maybe Callum Williams, but
right. was there a lot of people at Bar Louie?
Right?
What's that?
Was it packed up? Like, was it, you know?
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah. Bar Louie, it goes.
Was there a line? Did you have to wait in a line, or did you walk up?
That's
and
a bridge too
cover?
Far.
That's,
yeah, no, I can't do that.
That's a tough
can't
deal.
Can't do that. But yeah, that would probably be my biggest weak moment. I don't know if I'm hoping that it's behind me.
Gotcha.
But that was it.
Make it a one-time mistake.
Yeah,
got it. What about you, Dave?
Sorry, what are we doing now?
What's your biggest weakness?
Probably that I come in here twice a week over and over again. I don't know if that's a trait or a failing.
That we're literally years into being subjected to such things.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest
one. I'll say mine is peanut butter. I eat like a whole jar of peanut butter in a week. I swear, like it's a weakness. I just can't stop.
Oh, God.
Give me some Ritz crackers, some toast. Maybe just straight off a knife.
My weakness is MLS, so let's talk soccer.
Let's do it. The most extra time deadline day of all time, and we have ordered these in our preference. And we start with the Danny Leyva interleague loan from Seattle to Colorado.
With no buy option.
Yeah, and also in the summer, there's a mutual option. If it's not working out, like literally in a month and a half, they could just send Danny Leyva back to Seattle. But Seattle
receives... Do they have to return the $92,000 in allocation?
That's a question
money?
That I don't have an answer for you on. Seattle did receive a third round pick in the 2025 MLS Super Draft. So a few years away, they will get that third rounder. If the third round exists, these things have a way of changing. And $92,000 in 2023 general
allocation
money.
Does RSL still have an international roster spot in perpetuity that they've traded away?
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm not sure about
just because you were doing.
Do you guys remember the first interleague?
We do. Don't. We've already done this a million times.
Okay. If you think I'm going to get tripped up on Tony Cassio,
come on, dude.
Respect.
Get out of here.
That's actually offensive. Yeah. That's offensive. Right.
These are both your biggest weakness then.
Danny Leyva to Colorado, Doyle. Just to bring you back into the fold here. I can see.
Yeah, I mean. Sorry, I'm looking at Super Cup.
Okay.
I'm going to 15 US Super Cup.
I'm going to take it because this is something I'm excited about. This is exciting for MLS. Take away the player and the team. This is an exciting development for a league that has more quality young players. I have said this a zillion times with trades. There is a lot of win-win moves in Major League Soccer.
That are not made.
Yes.
And now this one's being made. Danny Lave, he's really skillful receiving the ball in central midfield. He's got good awareness. You question the defensive stuff. I think that has kept him off the field for Seattle. But with Colorado playing the way they play, which is a little bit deeper and you don't have to range as far, he has three center backs behind him. He'll be alongside another hardworking central midfielder. It seems like a good fit, but it's also a question, like, is he going to be able to get on the field? Because right now it's Connor Ronan and Brian Acosta deep, and they've both played really well. And like, Brian Acosta is the most frustrating player in the world because he should be like a best 11 caliber player. But like, 1 week he'll come out and be best 11 caliber, and the next 3 weeks he will be just like not a soccer player. So like, you don't know if that's going to continue to work. So like, maybe that is,
yeah, that's the pathway forward. Yeah. Is just, it was supposed to be Price,
right?
It's not. And the issue with Costa is he,
and then
borderline,
there's a world where like Danny Lava gets there and like it clicks and he actually is Jack Price.
Yeah.
You know, like, and Jack Price is like, in theory, the type of D mid that Danny Lava would be, a guy like who, again, not a ton of range, but ends up being good in the tackle, wins the ball and then sprays, gets everybody involved. And like, Lava has the passing chops to do that.
Yeah.
I like it.
What's it say about Ralph Parisso and his development in Colorado?
It's bad. And it's been bad. It's been bad for, it was bad last year with Parisso that he got traded over in a year in which Colorado was pretty much out and they still didn't find playing time for him. And find playing time, I say, in like, when you watch him play in MLS, he does not deserve to be on the field. So Colorado would have had to make the decision last year to play him anyway because he's an asset. He's a, you know, national team player potentially for Canada. That's what they got for Marc-Anthony Kay. That's the value. But then this year, to have Jack Price go down and for him to basically lose the option to be the next guy, it's tough. And so that's like probably the one negative about this is Colorado's kind of saying, we don't think he's good enough this year. And that could be a whole year of development for Ralph Parisso that he loses, but they need to win games. So like, the hope is if Lava can help them win a little bit now, this could be the type of thing that happens more often going forward.
How do you think Lava helps them in the attack, Doyle?
So
like, that ultimately the right now they're very stable defensively, but they just, it's difference makers in the attack that they're,
it is. And like, the idea is like, well, he'll get Barrios or Rubio or even Cabral or Lewis or whoever, get them the ball a little bit earlier in stride, in space, because that's how, you know, they try to play across the game channel, you know, overload one side, play across the game channel and get wingers or wingbacks on the run. And Lava can, in theory, do that and make it easier. But like, they need somebody to walk the ball into the net for them, you know, and like, he's not going to do that. Nobody's going to do that. I think it could help them structurally, but that final touch, that's up to the forwards, Yappy, Rubio, Lewis, Cabral. Like, it's got to click for them, and they have to end up breaking through this wall that like seems like a mental thing for three of the four.
It is, I think, as you said, Dave, just a good sign. And unfortunately, we mostly are getting sort of blips on the radar of like this interleague market, whether it be loans of young players or sales within teams. Like, we see it in the, you know, some of these transfers that happen, you know, 500K GAM here, 350K GAM there. And then you get the occasional blockbuster, you 2 million GAM. But I do think, and there was a lot of talk about this last year, about just a bigger, more robust internal market that teams like the Rapids can take advantage of. And they have, obviously, like, they've been a part of it with Kellen Acosta and Marc-Anthony Kay of moving players around. But you would hope that this is sort of the beginning of something more, because there are only going to be more homegrown players coming through and there's more investment in the first team rosters as well.
And this is a way for you to, if you have a good young player and you identify a good DP, you could bring that player in and then loan the academy player, right? Like, it shouldn't be, the line shouldn't be like, oh, well, we think Cade Cowell's really good, so we can't go get a DP winger. Well, what if you could, and then you loan Cade Cowell out? That's just an example, right? I guess Cruz Medina would be a better one inside the league, but not with the sell option. He helps that team, he increases his value, or he prepares himself to replace your player. Like, this could work. And we've talked how many times this year about, like what you said with the Rapids there, of like, there are different MLS teams trying to do things in different ways. There's not one solution of, this is the only way you can build a team. And so this is a chance for teams like that to have an opportunity to say like, yeah, we'll take a good young player for a year. Like, we have minutes to fill there and we'll be better on the field and we can connect ourselves to this player. Because let's say it's Brendan Aaronson. You better let's say Danny Leyva goes to the Premier League in 5 years. You better believe the Rapids are going to say former Colorado Rapid player Danny Leyva playing in like that. And they should. So I think there's a lot of ways this can work for everyone, but it needs to be, I think, more robust, more often. And I think there needs to be a level of like, this works for everyone, rising all the tides and boats and a lot of maritime stuff.
I mean, I actually think it's a really good move for the Sounders. I know Colorado are more in a position of need, maybe some minutes desperation right now. But I think for the Sounders, it makes a lot of sense because they have Atencio, they have Vargas, they have young players that are going to get those minutes. And it's better for, I think they signed him to a 5-year deal to begin this year. So they're invested for the long term. And this is no knock on MLS Next Pro, but you'd rather have your player developing first team minutes and you just don't have them right now to give them to him. And it doesn't mean that you don't think he's valuable or that he's going to become a big player for you. I think quite the opposite. It's just, they're showing a little bit of vision to project that forward and to say, go get some experience somewhere else. Go get first team minutes for us in a way, because I think the plan is for him to come back and get involved. Yeah. So I think that's the thing where sometimes we say, oh, this player has been cast aside, or this player, they're kind of, he's lower on the depth chart than this guy or that guy, are getting too caught up in the moment, especially for these young guys. But to be able to say, okay, this guy's going to get meaningful minutes, get a chance to prove himself. I don't know if it's going to change the attack in Colorado or it's going to, that's up to him really, but he has a much better pathway now forward for his immediate steps. And then I think for the Sounders long-term.
Different kind of challenge, different environment as well.
And that's the other risk. That mitigates the risk for Colorado. They know he's coming from a good program. They know Brian Schmetzer. They understand that he's going to come in culturally. He might actually help, you know, in some ways he's going to fit right into that group. So I think for a young player, especially with a guy that has minutes, it's less risk than maybe in the past. Maybe that's why you saw teams a little gun shy to try and make a move like that, where it's saying, well, there's not a lot of young players who have minutes to know what that might look like at this point. And do I want to trade all the way or not?
Are they mentally ready to come and move and, you know, hit the ground running and stuff is tough.
The $92K in allocation money, by the way, is just to cover the salary charge on the Sounders budget. So, hey, for everybody, it works out. Colorado needed it. It was an emergency. They got it. Sam Adeniran of St. Louis City is going to San Antonio.
What is the order of this list?
In the most extra time.
Okay, cool.
Blockbuster to
David.
Blockbuster.
Kevin Sullivan, 2 goals today against England.
Oh, nice.
U15s.
There you go.
2-2 draw.
Was Christian McFarlane on the field for England?
That's a really good question.
Because the U.S. develops Argentine national team players, Mexican national team players, English national
Christian
team players.
Christian McFarlane is a left back, left wing back kind of guy from NYCFC's academy.
Would have been a great line of questions
for on?
One Matt Crocker.
I'm loving the range of soccer that's being
I cannot
right
believe
now.
How much this we just did on the daily.
There's a lot going on.
From Irving.
Good riddance, Matt Crocker.
Rita Zuhir also on loan to San Antonio FC, this time from Montreal. Any big time thoughts on that? Adeniran was, I think, the leading scorer for San Antonio last year with 12. Scored some absolute bangers. So a huge move for him. You thought he might stick around to provide some depth in St. Louis, especially with Joel Klaus out for 10 to 14 days. But no, they sent him on loan again. More experience for him.
Corey Hayes is down there.
Is he?
Yeah, it's a good midfield.
What about Rita Zuhir, though?
Yeah, I mean, high-level kid, high-level talent. I'm shocked. We talked about this on Monday, didn't we? Yeah,
like, I've brought it up, I think, off-air a lot to you.
Yeah.
I really want to talk about Rita Zuhir. Like, I think he's awesome.
I think he's awesome, too. I've talked to coaches around the league who, in preseason, were like, we played Montreal, and this kid who we'd never even heard of was the best player on the field. I was like, was it Rita Zuhir? They're like, yeah. Like, he's a high-level kid. Like, maybe he just needs game time and maturity. San Antonio's a really good team. San Antonio, like, I watched them a few times last year. I've only seen them once for, like, 35 minutes this year, but they have guys like Ja'Cory Hayes. They have
PC.
Yeah.
Pros.
They have pros, right? Like, they are maybe the best org in USL. So yeah, it's
Zuhir started against Philadelphia. I thought it looked pretty good in the match I watched him play in that one. It seems strange maybe for Montreal just because so much of what they're doing right now seems
and Sam Piet's out.
Yeah, seems to play these young guys to allow them to develop, to give them time. It doesn't seem like the Bryce Duke move would necessarily be a like for like, right? So it seems like there would be minutes at least available there.
Well,
whereas we talked before of saying, oh, you're not going to get minutes here, but let's make a move. I have a young player to go to another spot to get time and grow and then come back. This one doesn't quite seem to line up that way.
I will say, though, I think the Duke move slides Saliba a little deep. Like, it does put a numbers crunch in that space. And I think there is a similar situation with Leyva of like, you're the one who's out right now. How can we help you develop? The other thing that I've heard when I've talked to Montreal people is they feel there needs to be some maturity and growth for him, which is less soccer related.
Okay.
And that is historically what these moves, less in the US, but like Seattle in the past, they sent guys like Austria, Czech Republic, whatever, where it's like, you need to go live on your own, away from home, grow up a little bit. That's a big thing for a lot of these young players. I think that's a large extent.
But they're not. He's not behind João Paulo and Albert Rusnak.
No, he's
and
not.
You know, the likes. It's a little bit. We've got some different pieces. We're trying to fit into the puzzle.
Yeah,
but yeah, sometimes there's other things, especially with young guys.
San Antonio visiting Nashville on this Wednesday night in U.S. Open Cup action at Geodis Park. Maybe an upset potential there. I saw a pretty cool stat on USL Championship
Austin
teams.
Last year, right?
Think so, yeah. Yes. Stat on USL Championship teams that when they host of late since 2018, Mike Watts put this one out, and I trust Mike on these things, that 47% of the time the USL team won, so it's kind of a coin flip. But when you're the away team as the USL Championship team against an MLS team, it's an 11% chance of winning, at least based on recent.
Union Omaha, it's like 50-50.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying they lost one.
That's
true. Okay.
Yeah, that's math. Well done. Also, congratulations to St. Louis on Tuesday night in U.S. Open Cup. I believe it was 22,423 fans.
I think I saw that it was the third highest attended Open Cup match ever.
10th highest ever.
10th highest ever.
But the most in the third round.
Okay.
Highest ever in the third round.
I knew
round.
There was a three in there somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, Anders, hasn't Seattle like won this bunch of times? Don't they get huge crowds? Okay, cool. Anders in my ear saying
You can't fit that many into Starfire, though. So that's not like the Sounders' fault.
No, they played those first few finals. I think they also hosted as a neutral site to Chicago Fire, right?
Well, I missed that. What'd you say?
Chicago Fire played Seattle in an Open Cup final at whatever it was.
And we continue with the blockbusters in this transfer window. One, Mauricio Cuevas, 20-year-old Galaxy homegrown, who was at Club Bruges, Club NXT, which is like
They stole our whole flow.
Yeah, it was like the most incredible club name of all time.
Sounds like he a came place home. Kalen would pay a cover to get into.
Damn, I don't know if Kalen could get in.
I've said too much.
Oh, God.
Tell me about this. Why are you excited about Mauricio Cuevas coming back? Give us the hard sell.
The hard sell, well, one for Galaxy fans is like Galaxy have made a lot of mistakes in their academy. A lot of players that are Galaxy Academy eligible never play for the Galaxy. That was one of the mistakes. Mauricio Cuevas is one of those mistakes of like they should have gotten him on a contract 2 years ago before he left. So now they get him back. On top of that, Julian Araujo's gone. So there's space for him to play there as a right back or right wing back, whatever they choose to do. So I'd rather see him play than some random under 22 play. This is me. I'm not involved with the Galaxy front office, so that doesn't matter to me. But yeah, I'd rather see him get an opportunity. He's a U.S. youth national team kid. He's a good player. It seems like this is a positive move of like trying to reset and make players want to come through into your first team, because we've talked about a million times, there is no sign of a pathway through the Galaxy. So for the best young players in that region, I don't think it's obvious to them like it is to a New Yorker or a Jersey kid or a Philly kid to be like, oh, if I want to play at the highest level, this is how I get there. And it's through these MLS teams near us. I don't think that's the case for kids in the LA area. But if you produce more kids from the LA area, like Cuevas, like Julian Araujo, it gets better.
Starting to see some of those kids come through for LAFC right now, but still early days. Yeah, just Duenas. And there'll be a couple others that I see. I said starting, right? Yeah. Fine. No credit for you, LAFC. Show us. Dynamo signed a U22.
Is Andre Shinichiki even on this list?
He's down there. That's way too conventional for us. That's far too conventional. Dynamo signed a Nigerian youth international out of Croatia, Lokomotiva Zagreb, Ibrahim Aliyu. He's a U22 kid, and 17 goals, 7 assists, and 84 appearances. Source Football was named in the press release. That's SRCFTBL. That is
That's Ravi.
Big
That's
time Ravi new consulting firm led by Ravi Ramani, who was with the Sounders for a long time. Cole Grossman is involved in that as well. So I thought that was interesting that that was put in the press release, which tells you that analytics played a big part in some of the scouting of this player.
Yeah.
Go ahead, David.
What? No, it's just, I was going to make a joke about like which of the teams they consult for gets first bid on the player. Because I think they're also working with Atlanta. I think Garth has said that.
I think Garth did say that. I would work with them if I was in that position.
Actually, we're going to get to it later.
Are we?
Are we?
We're doing our front office coach and player draft here in a little bit.
Yeah.
So, any thoughts?
Should we add analytics department to that as well?
I think we're all just going to use source football. None of us take Devin.
Well, he works in basketball. Huh?
That's true.
Yeah, I think it's part of the front office now.
Any thoughts on this move? I can raise my hand right now and say that I'm not familiar with Ibrahim, but I will be soon.
It's okay.
I would say there was no analytics department when I was playing there. So that's progress. And I think a lot of the moves, when you talk to Ben Olsen or you talk to the front office, there were a lot of moves made behind the scenes. Onstad, Asher Mendelson, that whole group, they've built out the analytics department, at least, partly internally and then partly externally through this consultancy. And
Carlin.
Yeah, you're not able to quite see all of those moves as of yet. So you hope that some of these down the road will help. And this is a position, I think, a profile that probably fits. I think the winger position, they brought in Franco and Amin Bassi in the offseason. Bassi is hit. Franco, I think, is busy. He's active, but maybe he hasn't quite hit with that final product as of yet, but fits the game model, I think, fits the system, and has been a good signing. But adding some depth behind them, somebody can come in, make a difference off the bench. That's still a place that I think Houston has needed a little bit more as far as depth and goals going forward. So I don't know if he'll be expected to come in right away and bring that, but I like the profile of where he comes from, some of those goal productions at least. I don't know how that translates.
They think he can play wing and forward.
Yeah.
So, versatility. You're dead on in the versatility.
Is center forward a position of need? Don't they have a DP?
Can I just say something on that one? Just like that one, I understand that there's a designated player there, so the question is going to come. I did think it was a much overblown from the standpoint of saying, as a former Dynamo player now, when I watch the team now, compared to what I've seen in the past, there are a lot of signs for hope and progress. It seems strange to me that
they're being asked.
To me, I'm like, oh, well, no, that people would be like, fans would be clamoring for saying, why isn't Sebastian Ferreira or Sebas Ferreira playing?
Because they're not scoring and he scored 13 goals on?
Sure, but he scored 13 goals on a basement dweller team, on a team that didn't even get close to the playoffs.
That's true.
So do I want those 13 goals or do I want those 13 points? So he's got to prove if he wants to be a part of sign of progress. I like from what I saw, even in the minutes he's played, I haven't seen even the way that they're trying to play. Even just somebody who's going to be a little bit busy or threaten or win second balls or scrap or fight, like that's I understand the idea of saying why this, if we added those 13 goals to this, wow, that would look great. But that's not always how things actually materialize on the pitch.
But then I think the conversation needs to start so that it can be set of, if this guy doesn't fit, what are you going to do? Because you can't just have him sit on the bench for 2 years, right? Like, you need your designated player to be effective. And for Houston to get to any sort of ceiling,
absolutely.
And I get what you're saying, which is just being relevant is a whole new world. But I do think that I think it's a fair question to ask anytime on any MLS team if your designated player is not a major factor. And by major factor means a starter.
I agree. But when you look at the transition of how teams have to turn over time, and it's a symptom, honestly, of constantly changing and what the Dynamo have been through over the years of changing coaches. Every time I'd come to town, there was a new manager in town. So like they're going to bring in different players. There's different front office. This is what we talked about, this process that's being built here. I hope that he can find his way back into the team, score some goals and do it. And I think that's probably why Ben isn't coming out and saying, oh, you know, he's more celebrating the other guys. But if you read between the lines, it's saying we're not seeing what we need.
If he was doing what Thor was doing, he'd be on the field.
I mean, they walked in and said, we have to change the culture here.
Right.
And you look around, you're like, oh, who's not playing? Now, to give Ferreira just a little bit of credit, he was gone for a large chunk of preseason to get his visa, I believe. So maybe he was just kind of behind the eight ball in that sense in terms of fitting in or tactically or physically or whatever. But at some point, there comes a moment where you're like, well, You've had the time.
Yeah, and if I'm a player, if I'm in his position and I'm like, man, I scored all these goals last year and the team was terrible, and now I'm like, this looks good. I want to be out there. Like, this looks better. If I'm out there, you got Ace, you've got this group playing actually some better football, better soccer. Like, this is a much better place for me to actually perform.
You seen Ace complete any passes to Sebas Ferreira? You seen Sebas Ferreira complete any passes to Ace?
No, but I'm saying just the structure behind him, like the buildup. And then we talked about Franco. They played together, were supposed to have some chemistry.
That was like the selling point that they gave of Franco, was like, oh, they know each other well, which means 3 months ago, they were still committed to Sebas Ferreira being a part of this team.
Yeah.
Which I think is part the other part of this, which is it's a little bit of a need.
Does it mean that, or is that just something you put in a press release?
I don't know.
I'll also say,
maybe told me to take press releases very seriously. I remember when Demidov signed, and you explained
got pressed
to me,
and you immediately just turned to me, like, backed it right over. Beep beep beep.
I'll also say, and this might be showing my hand, but I did play over Carlo Costley, who is much higher paid, Honduran international, big name, big star. I played over him, you know, in my time in Houston, and Carlo stayed with the team and came in, scored like a crucial goal against Weeby's beloved Sporting Kansas City to help us secure to go to MLS Cup. So keeping that balance of one, I think you win a lot of credit in the locker room from playing the players that you think make fit, regardless of the name, the profile, the salary, all that. But you can't also throw the player out. And I think that's kind of a picture of what I think they're hoping happens.
It's the Nelson Valdez, Claudio Bieler concept.
Well, we've got some A-plus references going on in this show.
We're going deep cut.
By the way, I think, Kalen, you think it would have been an analytics darling in your day?
I don't know. Maybe on the, like, VO2 max.
Oh, my God. You think we could go back and somehow get some data from his seasons just to see?
Oh, yeah. We have data going back to 2010. Yeah.
We're going back.
Oh,
we're
boy.
Going back. Oh, wow.
Also, it was serendipity that 13 goals last year for Sebas Ferreira, 13 points this year for Houston. I had to go look that up. I was like, oh,
did
that's
it?
Some good stuff from Kalen.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Look at really that. Enjoyed that reference.
13 was my favorite number.
Yeah, well done. Another blockbuster. Inter Miami send Ayman Babika to Toronto FC for $100,000 in GAM. Ayman Babika out of the University of Kentucky.
Two years in Miami,
but also a move corresponding. Yeah. CJ Sapong to Toronto from Nashville. Nashville receive Lucas McNaughton and $125,000 in 2024 GAM, and perhaps up to $75,000 in conditional 2025 GAM, depending on roster status and performance metrics. Anybody care to Doyle explain what was going on here? You swapping some center backs if you're Toronto, Mabika for McNaughton, and then picking up Sapong?
Yeah, I mean, the center back stuff is just like fourth string center backs moving along. Mabika to Toronto, McNaughton to Nashville to replace Nick DePue, who had injury issues and he's not going to play this year. So like that explains all of it.
It's weird that they don't just do three-way trades though.
It is weird because
you'd think the Canadian, you think if for TFC you'd want the Canadian on your roster.
I don't think after last week they want him on the roster. And then Sapong, he's got to be there as a starter, right? Like the last week they had Akinola, Mbonge, and then one other kid on the bench at center forward.
Because they didn't start a center forward.
They didn't start a center forward. They played a kind of an empty bucket. And
so what's it now at center forward on the depth chart? Diamande's hurt.
But Diamande's supposed to be back soon. And so
Me too. Yeah. My hamstring's just about to get better.
But yeah, well, anyway, I think Cici's going there to start. And it's a kind of a dead giveaway that they want to control the ball because CJ doesn't run into the channels, right? He doesn't score a ton of goals. What he does is he's elite hold-up play, and he brings everybody else into the game. You could run off of him if you're Insigne or Bernardeschi or even, you know, Kay Osorio, assuming they can stay healthy, coming out of the midfield. Like, it allows them to play a really controlled, ball-dominant game in theory. He doesn't, as one person, solve their goal scoring issues. I just think he'll probably make it easier to use the ball for defensive purposes first and foremost, which we saw against Philadelphia. They need that, and to use it to help be a little bit more creative in the final third, which is shocking that they are so poor, given the attacking talent they have on this team. But like, yeah, it's, that's a fact. And then the other thing is like, it's an over 30 men's league team, right? And CJ's 34, 35 years old. So he fits in that way as well.
He historically, CJ Sabong has scored a lot of goals on new teams. And in the last year of his contract, I believe both of those are the case.
And an odd number of years.
There you go. So this is a really good
this
year
for it. Boom.
The move makes a bunch of sense. It's a little bit of allocation money for a team that's win now. And the big key is just, as Doyle said, it puts your two best players, this whole thing is built around, back into position, their best positions. It was a train wreck against Philly. And the biggest part of it was just you wasted Insigne and Bernadeschi by playing them up top in those two spots. And a lot of the games since Insigne has been hurt, Bernadeschi's been wasted because he can be effective doing a lot of things. He's really good. Why would you not want him doing his best thing, which is attacking players and coming in from the outside? And so you put him back there. Sabong gives you another option. I won't be surprised if Sabong has a good year for them. He's a good soccer player. Yeah. And for Nashville, it makes sense because they have a bunch of options.
So Nashville have a bunch of options because McNaughton, the defender, the Canadian defender they acquired, does not require, it's 3-0 Man City is what David was just telling you.
Yeah, I'm getting in my ear too.
Yeah. McNaughton does not require an international roster slot, which Nashville had just traded for. Now, the transfer and trade window was closed. However, you could still sign players who are out of contract. One kind of wonders or even assumes that Nashville have their eye on an international number nine who is out of contract.
Have any names?
I don't.
I was like, whoa, yeah, the way you said exciting.
That, it was like that cadence where you're like, and he's going to name
his,
a name.
His name is Bafétimbi Gomez. Yeah, like,
no, I do not. It's not Ake Loba. I'll say that.
So it's Teal Bunbury and Ethan Zubak right now on their center forward depth chart. But you would have to assume that they are going to make a move there. TBD on that one. So watch it closely. Justin Miram straight up for Andre Shinashiki, Kalen. Charlotte and RSL making a swap here. Shinashiki signed a new contract after coming over last year to Charlotte and having a big end of season, was like a big bright spot for them. Been a little bit marginalized this year.
I was surprised by this.
Yeah, I was a little surprised too. I believe Justin Miram was also surprised.
Was he?
Yeah.
Man, I feel for the vets. Having to move last... I mean, going to Charlotte, it's not bad, but I feel for the vets who are, you know, picking up, and he's picked up quite a bit. He's been around. It's strange to me how Shinashiki fell out at Charlotte. I just felt like he fit really well. He can play a number of different positions, you know, even as the way they kind of were rotating, it seems like, in the beginning of the season to try and figure out who fit where best, just didn't seem like he really fit into the plans, and then kind of fell deeper and deeper down to the point where you kind of expected a move to be made. I felt like a lot of teams could have gone to Shinashiki and tried to find, I think, a player is younger than Miram, has some similar qualities. I think Miram's a little more of an outside guy. I think Shinashiki is a little bit more underneath. But yeah, I was surprised by this one.
I agree with you, but I think it's a good move for RSL. Like, I think Shinashiki will bring them a little bit more, just especially more minutes, which they still need. And I like his versatility alongside a lot of like targety forwards or stretch the line forwards.
He's sort of like he's Krylock. He's like a budget Krylock, right?
Yeah, I just, Demir Krylock's really good. I wouldn't throw him in there, but he's a second.
Hard to compare to because he's just like,
it's just in
a,
sort of the profile.
Demir Krylock like,
better
is
playing off another striker.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a natural that version slash of nine.
Krylock, not the like six Krylock. Or
yeah, right.
There's a lot of different versions.
But yeah, Shinashiki will drop in. I think he could be good, or you play a 4-3-3. He can go in that spot. I'm actually surprised other teams didn't go for this, and especially teams that need some depth. Like, I was thinking literally San Jose, who played RSL this weekend, of like, what's San Jose's backup options? Benji Kakanovic, and that's it across the front three. So I was surprised there was I thought there's a few other teams, Vancouver maybe would be one of them. Houston could be one of them where you'd think he could give them some minutes. And I don't think Justin Miram's going to be a starter, but like, Charlotte have not had a guy who whips in crosses at all. And they have Capetti and they have Swiderski. So
isn't the idea now that like Kerwin Vargas has been pretty good?
Great.
Right. Yeah. And then they have what, Mackenzie Gaines to back him up as well. Yeah, Ben Bender can play out there.
Does not cross the ball.
Oh, fair. But like Bender does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Miram will be a starter, but I think the few minutes Justin Miram gets will be comfortable for him. Like, I think they're set up for him to play well. So I get this move from both sides.
Christian Dahomey to DC. Any big thoughts there? 350K in GAM. Could be up to 200 more if he hits incentives.
I mean, he seems like a solid backup piece for Taxi Fuentes, maybe. Or, you know, like, they'll probably play him as a forward because they're not using wingers right now. And I think he's maybe naturally a winger.
They did start the year in a 4-3-3.
They did, but, like, they've gone to a 3-5-2 the past couple of weeks. They've looked better in it. We praised them for it. And, like, stupidly, we forgot to mention that they've gone to a 3-5-2 a year after trading the best wing back in the league in Julian Gressel, right? Like if they were, like, they traded Julian Gressel because they were like, no, we're playing a 4-3-3, and they tried it for like the past 30 games, and they're, you know, one of the lowest points per game in the league. Now they're back to a 3-5-2. They've played better. It's like, how many goals would Benteke have at this point?
Maybe they could have traded for him back.
Yeah, right? Like, does he still have his house? I don't know. Ask his realtor. But, like, if Benteke was living, right? If Benteke was living off of Gressel's service,
I guarantee you someone on that DC roster is living in that house.
Yeah, Russell's managing the deal.
Yeah. But it's just like, it's more of a look. Dahomey is fine. I don't think he's going to play a big role for this team, but like this is a type of thing that happens to teams who don't have a long-term vision and like lack strategic thinking in terms of how they're building their roster.
Yeah, but how does he fit with Ravel Morrison though?
Right, exactly. And like that's the thing. Like if you had even an inkling that you might be playing a 3-5-2, you're not going to trade Julian Gressel. And I know he's playing central midfield now, but it's like we've seen this guy play wingback. He gives his forwards tap-ins.
One thing I'd say on Dahomey is he does give them some pace, but this DC team has none of it. Cudi Pietro is more of an underneath guy. Roberta, I don't know. It just like he's more of a holdup than
More of a USL guy.
Roberta. Yeah, not a ton.
Nations League legend. Relax.
You know, there's just not a lot of, you know, when you have a guy like Benteke, and that's the one place where it actually worked, where he holds it up. Then they get Taxi Fuentes making that late arriving run or like stretching.
By the way, and Juan is the guy that went and traded for to sort of play that right back position. Now is a pretty good wing back for him as well. But
yeah. But having another option, a change of pace that can run off Benteke and either through flick-ons or, you know, combination player looking for something, a change of pace or even moments in transition, I get it from that perspective.
NYCFC traded for Monte Amundsen they traded him to the Crew. This is probably the most impactful move of deadline day. Amundsen had started, I want to guess, like 35, 40 games over the last 2 years at left back for NYCFC. He's 25. 400K in GAM could be additional 100, and that game is split over 2 years. And Aaron hit us up and said, what's going to happen with Will Sands's injury? What does it mean for the Crew? Well, this is what it means.
Yeah, you are right in that he is probably the one like surefire starter.
You think you don't think CJ is?
Oh, yeah, that's fair. I just forgot.
Yeah. Okay.
We just talked about it 3 minutes ago. I forgot.
But no, these are the two starters. Yeah. Amundsen is like for like, I'm not sure he's as good as Will Sands, to be honest with you.
But this, I think, is more comfortable for him. I think he struggled. He's a bad defender, 1v1, and he struggled in a flat four.
If you have a three, that's fair.
And
it's a good move by the Crew. It's good work.
And it's good. It's a good move by NYCFC as well. We talk about players that and moves that need to be made. Like, he had not played since, I think, September.
Yeah. And when you talk about like big personalities trying to find space, like Kevin O'Toole hasn't gotten minutes.
So he's been hurt. He's been hurt. So you know when he comes back.
The whole world is watching. So yeah, you got to open a minute.
He comes back.
Yeah.
It's his spot.
Kufre has been good too.
Yeah, he has been very good. It's pretty incredible. I don't know if we said this on the last show, but like CFG goes and signs two fullbacks in the offseason. They're both starting above average starting caliber players in the league and a ton of
other
teams.
Did they even sign him in the offseason? I feel like they got both those guys as the season was starting.
Ilinich was actually the only early signing you made.
That's how it goes. CFG is just like, it just like poof, it just appears. Yeah. A player just appears.
But it's just like,
just hit the algorithm.
It's like the opposite.
Sounds like
we
a guy
saying.
Who's trying to get notes ready, walks into the stadium and NYCFC's like, oh, we just added two more players.
I'm like, who is this guy? No, half of them are former NYCFC players. So that helps.
True. Yeah.
But no, as I say, it's like the opposite of DC in terms of strategic thinking and like maximizing I hate to call players assets, but like maximizing your assets and your roster build, which you right. have to do in MLS in order to stay competitive year after year after year, which NYC have done.
Where in the world is Kalen Carr this weekend?
Well, we've already done that.
Outside of Boston, New England, Cincinnati. It is the match of the weekend and match day 10, 7:30 p.m. Eastern MLS season pass. Brenner Udinese is now done. All capitals, D-O-N-E. We move, according to Tom Bogert. What do we think of this game, Kalen? Give us the early look. How are you thinking about this
matchup? I mean, I am always hyped to go to Foxborough, but this weekend especially, top two teams.
Yeah, Eastern Conference preview.
Love it, love it. I mean, I think I had Cincinnati match day one in Cincinnati, incredible crowd. Sergio Santos actually scored the opener. So maybe foreboding of what was going to come as far as, because that was also the question mark of Brenner, even in the preseason, of whether he was going to go to Nottingham Forest. Came back the week of, came off the bench in that one, but Sergio Santos scored. I know things haven't quite clicked completely in the attack for Cincinnati, but they, to me, are a much better team than they were last year and still have kind of the way we talked. It's hard not to make Philadelphia comparisons with these guys because of the history and, you know, the manager and the front office. But I was thinking about last year where Jim Curtin kept saying, we haven't quite hit our best yet. You know what I'm saying? They were like doing well near the top of the Eastern Conference, but just not really, you know, very honest, similar to Noonan, but just saying not quite hit our best yet. I feel that same way with FC Cincinnati when I watch them. I'm like, this isn't your best yet, and you can add to it and it can start to click. What can come from this team? I think same thing goes for New England, actually, which is also a similar story of they put together some really good halves. The second half last week, not as good. They've had good performances, have only really been able to win games by a few goals against Houston, I think match day two, and then against Montreal, which was just, you know, kind of a you know, train wreck. But they otherwise, they've been in a very tight matches and been able to win, kind of like that New England team we saw a few years ago that went on to win the Supporters Shield. So I think this one's going to be super tight between these two teams. Both teams very good back lines. Cincinnati's much improved. That's been the big difference for me from last year. Mascara has been a good signing. Miazga has been great. Haglund, like, that solidity is right there. Wobodo in front, and then two of the best number 10s in MLS. You got Carlos Hill, you got Lucho Acosta. Both of them are buzzing, both so talented, different in a lot of ways. Like, to me, I think Carlos Hill gives you a little more defensively, be a little more honest. He's working, always buzzing. Lucho, I think at times can kind of, you know, find the ball, but he has that moment of magic that he can just do something that, you know, I talked to him before one of the games and he was like, sometimes I surprise myself. Like, I don't know what.
Must be nice. That must be nice.
And you're just like, wow, all right.
Weeby, you must surprise yourself all the time.
Well, not in the ways that Lucho surprises him.
Lucho walks out the field. Man, I am so much better than I thought I am. Weeby turns around and goes, oh, I did take that out of the fridge. I didn't remember.
The peanut butter. But yeah, I mean.
Did I say that publicly?
No. And then, you know, For all the Brenner talk, Sergio Santos has been really good. I think 4 goals in 300 minutes. So hasn't always had like a prolific goal rate. Didn't do great for them last year, except in the playoffs, started to come on. Still missed, you know, decision making a little bit. Missed a pass to Vasquez. Vasquez, I thought, was going to just come over and just kill him, which I wouldn't mind seeing from Vasquez, just personality wise, a little bit more of that. But he got a goal, so that's buzzing. And Barrial, I think, will be key. He had a really nice assist to Sergio Santos. I saw one of the Octa stats that said that he had created 10 opportunities for Sergio Santos, and two of them were goals. And I think that's the most between two pairs in MLS. So Sergio Santos just gets stretched the back line, just very different than almost anybody in MLS, but fits in well with the way Lucho Acosta likes to play. Barrial, guys that need somebody to kind of make runs or create space or find that movement. So that part looks promising if you're thinking about what life post-Brenner might look like for Cincinnati.
Brandon Vasquez or Sergio Santos get hurt or struggle at all, are there any other options on the Cincinnati front line?
Yeah, there is.
Baji, baby. You thought I was going to drop it for a second.
I was like, I sit here in just anticipation.
We talked about him a lot.
I was like, was Baji traded again on him?
No, you can't trade Don Baji. I like Sergio Santos as an MLS option as to bring in to fill the spot. He's not Brenner. And I think at this point in his career, we know who he is. So I think he's great to fill that role. They need to now use the spot that Brenner held to make the team better. So if Santos can be a starter, that's fine. You want to go out and find another center mid or an elite center back, whatever it is, to improve the overall quality of the team and say, we think we get enough with Santos to use the spot somewhere else, I think that's fine.
Didn't they already kind of say that in the offseason with Angulo?
I don't think so.
At center mid? Nobido's sort of locked in at the six.
Well, Nobido's locked in. I don't
know. It seems like they like Pinto, but that's a homegrown player that they're sort of blooding in. Like, it would feel crazy to me to spend a DP spot there when it's Vasquez who could leave, Santos.
And so then for this year, they won't have gotten better. They will have gotten worse, right?
Well, in the summer, maybe you get a forward. Or
no, you bring in a forward this year. Is there a planet in which that forward will perform for you at the level Brenner did last year?
I mean, it took Brenner time to get to
exactly.
that level.
So they will be worse this year. That's the reality of what happened. This is a team that is leading in the Eastern Conference, that is Cup contenders, that is Supporters Shield contenders. And with the way the Brenner deal went down, I think they will have given that away this year.
Will they? If that's what they did. Will they be better this year with the Brenner that they had this year, or without the Brenner they had this year, regardless of the replacements?
No.
Yeah, they'll be
way.
Better without him.
No.
Here's a question for you, Doyle.
He came back and scored.
Which team's going to finish higher at the end of the year, Revs or FC Cincinnati? I know you had Cincinnati as a Shield
pick. Yeah, I'm not going to go back on my Shield pick. The Revs have been really good. They have a bunch of different ways to play. They've done a really nice job of creating depth. They have maybe like the two of the best match winners in the league in Carlos Heel and Georgi Petrovic. Right now, they look better than Cincy, but I picked Cincy at the start of the year, so that's what I'll roll with.
Little concerned by the Kessler injury, just depth in the back line.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
That was an issue for him last year. But across the board elsewhere, it looks very, very good. All right, let's go into some other matches in match day 10.
Revs only have three starting level center backs.
Well, two now.
And every other team has how many? How many times are we going to do this?
We don't have to do it, Dave. You can tell me what match from match day 10 you're looking forward to.
I got to find the document because I don't remember.
It's Minnesota FC Dallas.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't it be? It's a barn
burner. Sunday.
I love a standalone. It's a rematch.
I love a standalone game.
People have been asking for a standalone game.
Could be a rivalry.
Yeah.
Minnesota Dallas.
It could be a rivalry. Minnesota went and won in Dallas week one. It was kind of the prototype of what Minnesota is this year. Sitting deep with a ton of numbers, not giving up chances, scoring in opportunistic moments. It hasn't gone well for them over the last few weeks. This is a Minnesota team that needs to pull themselves out of the nosedive, because I start to worry that this is a team that needs to maximize its talent. And as it gets deeper in the season and that's not happening, what does pressure do to a group like that?
And maybe also they just don't have it.
Could be it, but I don't think there's an expectation around the club that they don't have it, right? I don't think this is a Minnesota group, both from the team and the fans, that are like, let's see what it looks like next year. Like, I think there's internal expectations.
I definitely think they can make the playoffs.
Like, yeah. I don't know that that's been evident over the last month.
Yeah, it's not a guarantee.
And I love this Dallas team. I was really underwhelmed by the performance in New York, but the big thing was just the giveaways. Like, they actually held NYCFC fairly toothless in the first half, and then Jose Martinez just hands the ball over and they're down 1-0. And so it felt like,
that was Jesus Jimenez.
Was it Jesus Jimenez?
Yeah, checking back.
Oh, well, it was Jesus Jimenez's fault then.
Yeah.
So Jesus Jimenez just hands it over. But this, to me, was a Dallas team. One of the reasons I was high on them is because I didn't think they'd beat themselves. And I think there's enough talent in the group to then go out and win games. But the key to being high in the Western Conference was not beating yourself. They did that against Minnesota in week one. They did that again last weekend. So I'd like to see them bounce back from that. And I'd like to see them show that there's more in the attack without Alan Velasco.
Dallas wins this year. Galaxy, Sporting Kansas City, RSL, and Inter Miami. Not the most impressive crop.
Sounds like a lot of MLS teams, though.
Right, but their losses, too, are what? LAFC and NYCFC? Away? From
yeah.
So. And Minnesota at home.
Wow. Just dunked on Weeby like that. That's good.
I think this...
like Weeby dunking a Ritz cracker into open jar of peanut butter.
Sounds great.
From Minnesota's side...
Real burst of energy for me right now.
They can't... The chance creation is an issue, and they don't have the elite goal scorers to take advantage of the chances. And then so it comes down to, is Hlongwane going to get one or two, or is can Mender Garcia finish? You know, can you take that chance and can you see games out? And especially at home, that's where they really struggled late on in matches. We saw Boettcher get the late goal to draw level. Orlando just a couple weeks ago, get the late winner as well. Duncan McGuire. So really, they just need to stay away from college players. Anybody coming off the bench from FC Dallas that
Which
has a four-year degree.
It's got the super draft, okay? Yeah. It's got
the super Which draft. Normally for Minnesota is a point of strength.
Yeah, late on at home. But they just have not been able, whether it's depth or whether it's that sort of killer second goal or goal to get that distance, haven't been able to do it. I really like Son Binchang. I think he's going to be a good piece for them. Only, I think, played two matches so far. Really good set piece delivery. They're going to have to be good on set pieces if they're going to win those games of tight margins and not have the elite chance creation.
You just got to
check on your, just making,
sorry about that.
Just trying to see what alert you got there. Doyle, you took Nashville, Atlanta United. Walk us through it.
Yeah, it was just, I like the way Nashville played last week. It was kind of a diamond with Dax at the back point, and Dax is still one of the best passing sixes in the league. He's one of the best we've ever had at hitting those third line passes into the pockets, like in time, 2 feet, giving playmaker a chance to make plays. It worked really well for the first 60 minutes or so against a very good LAFC team. I hope that is the version of Nashville that we get in this game, one that uses the ball a little bit more. I'm not saying they have to go out there and be the Sounders in terms of just like positional play and like trying to dominate 65%. But like Nashville last year, Nashville the first month of this year, it was all just like defending in Joe Willis's lap and trying to hit on the break. And like they have a higher ceiling than that as a group when they go out there and they play actual soccer. I think that Atlanta's a good team, but they let you play. Like you can get on the ball and you could do stuff against Atlanta United. So I mean that, like just from a tactical point of view, that's what I'm looking for, because I want to see Nashville take that step. That's for one. For two, it's like the fans in Nashville are kind of saying this is a rivalry. The fans in Nashville or in Atlanta aren't really hearing it, I don't think.
It's like the closest game for them.
Yeah, right? Like they'll travel, right? But yeah. Like, I don't know. Like I want to start seeing the types of performances between these two teams, the types of games that makes this actually feel like a rivalry. Because we got it instantly in Ohio with Hell is Real. And, you know, we've gotten it, I think, to an extent down in Florida. What's that?
New York.
No, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, right out the gates with that one, right? And this isn't quite that close, so you understand why. But like, okay, if it's a rivalry, I want the fans to sound like it in the stands. I want the players to play like it on both teams. And then, you know, we give Weeby his other biggest weakness, inventing rivalries. Like, he doesn't have to do it for this one.
No, it's a strength.
It's a strength.
Do you think the winner each time gets possession of Chattanooga? Is that what the match is for?
There's probably some historical precedent there that I don't want to wait.
It's an up-and-coming city, though.
I'm going to walk away from that one. I am, however, going to give you another standalone game here in my Match Day 10 game to watch. Late night, Pacific time, 10:30 Eastern, Vancouver, Colorado. Clear out. We got an ISO. The biggest game of the weekend, Julian Gressel, Colorado, who can't quite seem to figure out a score, but they can't lose either. 5 games unbeaten for them. So, yeah, I'm here for it. I think this is an interesting game because I think at home, Vancouver with the ball has been quite good. They've created a ton of chances this year. The underlying numbers like them a lot. They just haven't always capitalized on them, in particular at home. And then they've also, you know, turned around and given up goals in poor ways. Colorado, meanwhile, are struggling to create chances. I think Colorado's going to sit back in this game. Just look at it on the counter. Set piece is a big thing. Both teams in the top 5 in the league on chances created there. I think this has a chance to be a really fun game. Colorado was fun against St. Louis, just not when it came time to apply the final touch in the 18. And Vancouver has sneakily been a very good team outside of getting just smacked by LAFC.
Vancouver home games are always fun because it's fast. There's high energy. Like, it's always enjoyable, but goals don't always follow them. I know.
It's a similar issue for both teams. Both teams create chances. Both teams sometimes struggle to create
goals.
Build
some rosters?
Let's do it.
Or build some clubs?
Yes, here we go. Matt Crocker, you're coming next Wednesday. In the mailbag, Ben T says, how did the MLS hotline jingle go? I forgot. 401-206-0-MLS.
Nope.
That's not it?
I don't know if it's not the number. That's not the tune.
It's close.
Yeah. No, that's not the two.
It's zero MLS.
No, I don't think that's the part that's wrong. That's the part that's wrong.
Sorry. I thought that was right. I could have sworn. Muscle memory. Vonder James says, if you could start a new expansion franchise with the best player in the league, the best coach in the league, or the best front office in the league, who would you choose and why? We would all choose the front office. I believe that has a longer term sort of.
Kalen, would you?
Or would you go player or coach, Kalen?
Come on, stand with your players. Do it.
Yeah, in this new MLS, I think I would have to go with front office.
Anders has randomly chosen a draft order for us. Oh, we are going to choose each of us a front office, a coach, and a player. You can choose any in any round. Like it sounds like
how
we're all going front
draft
office
how,
first.
How,
just
so I know.
It's just three rounds.
Okay,
just three rounds. Anders, have you formulated said order?
So you get one of each.
Oh, okay.
But all of them together.
Okay.
All right. So here's the order: Doyle, Kalen, Goss, Weeby. He has granted
snake. We got a snake.
We got a snake.
We got a snake, folks.
I shouldn't have given up. Yeah, I shouldn't have given up my. I told my hand already.
Well, it doesn't matter. You're the number one pick.
You have second pick. He has the number one.
That's respect.
So number one pick is
Doyle. I'll trade you two.
No. Matt Doyle. Honestly,
how do we
it
monitor
might be worth
this,
trading
though,
your like player the, and your coach for your front office?
Yeah. Like the Golden Boot draft.
The way we monitor this is we take the reaction of everyone in the MLS circles who will text us about this and say you're wrong.
Okay.
And we see who has the least you're idiots.
The old fashioned way. Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think the more people think you're an idiot, the more right you might be.
Okay. Cool.
Doyle. Doyle's on the clock with the number one overall pick.
Garth Lagerwey.
That's an easy first pick.
Is it?
Yeah. I think it is.
Okay. There's only one other name I considered. So.
But he doesn't want to say that because
no
that
pressure,
might taint
yeah.
the process.
I'm going John Thornton, former teammate, great guy, championships.
Yeah, built a nice team in LA.
Yeah. And you said it was an expansion team, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah.
But I mean, no, that makes a difference.
It's a good point. It's a good point. That's a good point.
Fair point.
You want to go with somebody that's done it.
He has built expansion teams in the past.
David Goss, you could go with the front office, but there's only one other front office that'll come off the board.
I'm just building a post-training men's league team, by the way, again.
Because of Snake.
Well, also because they both have front office, so the only people that draft front office are you.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, so you could go elsewhere if you want.
This has been really helpful.
Yeah.
Weeby, why don't you keep talking while I think? Any other thoughts that you have?
No, I don't have any other thoughts for you, but...
So, I'm gonna...
This is clearly a time killer. To
no, because I already wrote it in for my notes. So I already did it. I'm just thinking it out loud. I'm going to take Wilfried Nancy.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
That is where I would have gone with my selection had you chosen a front office.
Yeah.
Anytime you could use your first pick on a coach who has won zero trophies in his entire life.
He's going to go there.
Did he win anything?
Sorry, is this the guy who picked Duncan McGuire to win the Golden Boot? I guess a Herman Trophy counts as
Whoa.
A trophy.
I picked him in the Golden Boot draft. He's got
the funny thing is I when I saw this assignment, I was like, are you going to pick a player from Montreal? And I was like,
no, I picked a former coach.
Okay. Respect.
Okay. So I am up next. I'm going to go Steve Cherundolo.
Okay.
He's going to be my coach. And then because I can just hold on the front office, like I could, that's going to be my third pick now. Obviously, I have all the time in the world on that.
Wow.
I think I'm going to go with, and this is going to be, it feels sort of like a cop out, but I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go Denny Bawanga as my first pick because I don't think he's going anywhere. He's in the prime of his career. He's got experience with Cherundolo. I think the vibe is good there. The production is awesome. And Cherundolo's still out here telling him he can be better. So look, LAFC just won two trophies. They're going to probably win more this year.
Kalen, you mock me about Montreal, and this dude just picked the LAFC
team. I'm picking winners, Dave.
I thought he was going to take
Gunnar Doris.
Does Gareth Bale have his licenses to be in a front office? Can you select him as your GM?
No, we play golf with him on Mondays.
Yeah. Okay. Whew, so that brings me back up.
You're back. Coach and player on the possibility for you.
Yeah. Okay, so on you think that this is good radio?
Yeah. It's
okay, so I think I'm going to go player, because as you have specifically stated, I think I then have the next pick, and no one else needs a front office, so I'm good on that. So I'm going to go player. I don't really have a great option, so my thought process out loud is someone prime of their career, so they'll be around for a little bit, that I can build around. It's not the perfect player, because I would probably prefer someone who can play multiple ways, but I'm going to go with Lucho Acosta.
I think it's a good pick. I would have gone with a different number 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your decision.
I know. I'm just stating that I might.
So who's up now?
Kalen is up.
All right.
Kalen, current owner of John Thorington in the LAFC.
I'm going to keep it in the fam. I'm going Jim Curtin. I'm keeping it in the fam.
Like
JT and Jim. Great teammates.
Just
great.
A little fire. Just
you know you're going to have a good locker room. Can handle experienced pros, young players, the whole thing. Just good vibes overall.
I like it.
I'm only drafting teammates too, by the way. I gotta find a player. Somebody I've played with. Somebody.
You're up.
Brian Schmetzer.
Okay.
And
so Garth and Brian back
Garth
together.
Garth and Brian back together.
Wow. They both signed off on this?
Maybe not.
Okay.
but it was successful when it was happening.
And I'm going to go with Georgi Petrovic.
Oh, you had the next pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Goalkeeper. I like that. I think that's a smart pick.
Yeah. Is it?
We're saying, Georgi, we're giving you a ton of money.
Here. We're giving you a ton of money.
Yeah. Okay. Kalen, you're up.
And if he says no, then we're going to sell you for $20 million. And then we have that much more to build our expansion roster.
Okay. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I can't believe nobody has taken a D mid or an outside back from this group. Yeah. I would have expected better.
I'm going to draft 18-year-old Kalen Carr, and I'm going to turn him into my starting right back.
Let's go.
I would take Chad Marshall if he was on the board, but I don't think he is.
You're going to need to play three in the back. I'm going to need to be a wing back because I'm not.
Yeah, but that's the modern game. We're good to go.
No, I'm ready. I'll throw the headband back on. We'll do it. It's tough because it's like I'm going Hani Mukhtar.
Yeah.
It's 28 years old. I feel like Jim hasn't maybe always had that sort of elite playmaker. Gazdag actually went off last year, so he's right there. But a similar type, I think, could fit the system well. 28 years old. I mean, that'd be a good place to start.
Yeah, good to have an MVP. Okay, Dave, front office. What are you taking off the board?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I've kind of worked myself into a corner here that I'm not maybe stoked about.
I don't think you have. You have two great picks.
So
let this man just bumble into his
pick. Weeby's waiting to see who I don't take. So I think from a stylistic point of view, I don't love what I've done here. But with Wilfred Nance, the focus is going to be development and young players in academy.
And the ball.
Well, that's
the ball.
I understand. No, don't try and say things to get me to not take the person
just
I'm going to take.
I
don't
you
need
did.
To do what you're telling me. I need to do.
I don't know what I'm telling you. What
so I'm going to take Ernst Tanner and company in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Because they have won with youth as a focus. And they've won not using the biggest budget.
The only other one I considered for the first pick.
I don't love the fit with Nance on that.
Yeah.
Is why Weeby kept yelling at the ball because I think he wanted Ernst and wanted me.
I was hoping either Curtin or Nance would drop to me, but you know.
I take City Football Group with my my front office pick.
It's a full thing.
Been sitting back waiting on that one. Doesn't really matter who it does. You know, David Lee is great and they're moving it along, but I'll take City Football Group. Poof. We're putting talented young U22 players next to Denny Bawanga with Steve Cherundolo to develop them.
Cherundolo has a good history of playing young players.
Cherundolo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He played Chiellini last year immediately. Brought Gareth Bale off the bench, Christian Teo.
I mean, Fall developed under him really well.
Yeah.
So he went to La Liga.
Yeah, so good.
That's incredible. So yeah. What are our teams here? Repeat so we can all remember. First pick was Doyle. So Doyle has.
I have Lagerwey, Schmetzer, and Georgi Petrovic.
And Rui Diaz. Yeah. No.
I should have taken Ladero. I feel like that team could win.
I'm getting the Chicago Fire back together. John Thorington. We should have picked what city you want to do it in, too. That's
that
would have been
good. That would be ETR 101.
I think I would have to go Chicago for this one. Thorington, Jim Curtin, and Hani Mukhtar.
Dave?
Did Hani play for the Chicago Fire in the mid-2000s? Where's Patrick Nearko on this list? Come on, man.
Is Hani the modern-day Patrick Nearko?
Disrespect.
Scout. Club scout.
Yeah, he is actually a club scout. I have Wilfred Nance, Lucho Acosta, and Ernst Tanner in Philadelphia's front office.
I like the Lucho with Wilfred. I think
it's going to be fun.
I would have taken Carlos Heel, personally.
Weird. It's almost like you were in this draft and you had
If I was you, when taking a 10, but I didn't.
Did anybody take Thiago Almada?
Huh?
Didn't nobody take Thiago Amada?
Yeah, but I was thinking he was going to be sold. But I guess, you know, Doyle pointed out that you could just reinvest, but
it doesn't exactly work that way.
Yeah, I'll take the Denny Bawanga, Steve Cherundolo, and City Football Group squad here.
It's fun that you backseat drafted my team that whole time and commented on the whole thing. Who's the top people that? So the.
Who are the snubs?
I was going to say Chris Albright was one I was considering.
Chris Albright and, I mean, Bruce Arena.
Pachinko, I think.
I felt like I couldn't take Bez in Columbus because I already had Nansei and I couldn't like triple down on Columbus at this point. They're like fifth in the East.
So is that like a dig from you to me on LAFC? Or
No. Just you live your own life. Yeah. Chris Henderson's the other one. He's done really good work with not that many options. I would love him to be in my front office. So, Chris, I'm offering you a position. Not the head guy, but a ton of resources to
on
come
coaches,
in.
I also had on my list, I had Pat Noonan and Bradley Carnell as well as
Ooh, wow. Bradley getting his getting in the
combo. Hey, like I ripped Nick Cushing last year because I think he changed some stuff immediately after he took over and it didn't work. And I think he figured some stuff out by the end of the year. And right now, NYCFC, like they're starting to cook a little bit. And I think Nick Cushing deserves a lot of credit for that because he stuck by his guns. And I've said it a million times on this show. There are only so many of these jobs to go around. When you get one, you want to do it your way. And I think that he's mostly done that. And credit to CFG for giving him enough room to do that. They were really good last week.
What other players were?
Estevez and Lucci, by the way, stood out to me as well. Of like, if I was going to build something from the ground up,
see that.
And want to build
any other players
MLS
on the list that stood out to you? I mean, Carly Seal was on mine. I just love Carly Seal. Christian Espinoza, 28. He's sort of in the Denny Bawanga mold of like you'd have a DP caliber winger for a long time.
Historically, on expansion teams, like an elite center back is a big thing. The problem was who you choose with that. Like, I don't know that Jakob Glesnes is that guy. And so I don't know that there is one out there.
I was thinking James Sands.
I have James Sands here too. Yeah. I have Aiden Morris on.
Would you take Noboto?
I would consider Noboto, yeah. The difference being you have to use a DP on Noboto.
Yeah.
Sands is not a DP hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking the whole thing. Like, I saw all the angles there. Believe me.
Any final thoughts here, guys?
I'm kidding. I'm just saying words.
I understand that.
Cool. What haunts your dreams is coming on the next show, so look forward to that. All right. That's it for us. Match Day 10 coming up this weekend. We will be tuning into CCL as well as the Open Cup.
Are we going to get a peanut butter sponsor?
Creamy or smooth?
Creamy. I grew up on Chunky, so... but you said creamy or smooth, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Come on, David.
Smooth or Chunky. Yeah.
Adios. We'll be right back.